Right now it is time for Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics. He brings well over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more, and he joins us on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Grandpa.
That's right, way.
News.
You know, it's funny.
News of the day, first news of the day.
Yeah.
Of old Marshall Miles. Has had his seventh grandchild.
And the great
little
thing,
girl called Mia.
I think this is going to sound terrible, but six of them live, four of them live in Virginia, okay? So I only get to see them a couple times a year, so I don't have to babysit a lot. And my son who lives locally, one of his sons is allergic to cats, and I have cats at the station at the house. So, but yes, Mia is the newest Miles to enter the world, and she's a sweetheart. Congratulations! When did I get to be 67? Seven grandkids. I mean, I don't feel like I should have seven grandkids.
Well. There are many more coming.
Well,
just
you're probably,
pay attention.
You're probably right. All right. Now, of course, I'm going to say something here, Jimmy, and I'll let you take a riff on it. But this New York Times article, that is, by the way, folks, if you think that this article is the end of it, it's not. The New York Times has plenty more information that they're going to come out with. And what I hope the Democrats do here is let the New York Times and let other newspapers ferret out and publish these stories. When you're in debates, let the news media question Donald Trump about it. If I were Joe Biden, I would keep pounding away on the proper way to rebuild America. I would pound away on the pandemic. I would pound away that the stock market does not indicate what the national economy is. I would pound away that we still had 880,000 people apply for unemployment benefits. These are the things I would pound away, because everybody, whether they want to agree to it or not, or whether they want to admit to it or not, knows that Donald Trump is a sleazy businessman, no doubt about it, and everybody knows this already. So let the newspapers, let them bring up all these topics. Let the news questioners bring it up. Joe Biden, please just pound away, looking presidential on what you're going to do. That's my whole take on the thing.
Well, I totally agree. And I hope, and I think Joe will probably go that route. He might be brought into that particular part of the fray when Chris Wallace or a subsequent interviewer brings it up and he's asked to talk about it. But I really think you're absolutely right on, because this news, it's not startling to most people, particularly if you live in the greater eastern part of the country. But this is a winning strategy, as you have just said it.
You know, it's interesting.
But now I must ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you a personal advisor to Joe? Are you getting paid?
Well, no, it's just that everybody, the announcement from the New York Times in this story has not surprised anybody. I don't think it surprised opponents of Donald Trump or his hard, steadfast core of supporters. It's not going to move them at all. Donald Trump is still going to get that 35 to maybe 38% of those people that they just don't care. They don't care. But what having the news agencies and the New York Times and focus on it and bring it out more and uncover more and more, that might very well affect if they do it. The 3 to 5% that right now are considered undecided, and it's going to be interesting. That's my whole thing on this. This is nothing shocking. It's nothing breathtaking that we didn't all know. It's just confirmation, and there's going to be more confirmation as it comes. Just continue to look presidential, Joe Biden. Just get up there. Don't get caught up in this fray. Don't, you know, one of the things that Hillary did, she got caught up in the bickering with Trump on these debates when he kept interrupting her and stuff. Just don't do it. Just put your foot ahead, do what you're doing right now, which is just talk about what your plans are for the country. So we'll see what happens. I mean, yeah, will he get asked questions about it? Yeah, but there's a way he can slide out of it. I mean, so we'll see what happens. But that's what I would do if I was the Democratic nominee right now. I mean, I wouldn't do any different. But we'll see what happens, because the Democrats have ways of shooting themselves in the foot.
How many debates are there?
There's three.
What I do know is that Chris Wallace is the most known of the moderators.
Well, and also the debates and Jim and Joe, all are meant to have a specific theme on them. Well, of course, a story like this is going to, with the national news media, is going to blow that theme right up. So they're going to come right out of the box with this. And you know, it's going to be very. I'm not going to watch. I don't have to watch. I don't have to antagonize myself to watch. I can watch other things that antagonize me more, like the Yankees losing, like they've been using. If I want to get antagonized, I can get antagonized with something I'm used to, like being a Giant fan. But I don't have to watch the debate. I know who I'm going to vote for, and. All this superfluous information is not going to do one thing for me except keep me awake at night when I should be sleeping for the morning. So to anybody who thinks that I'm going to debate the debates on Facebook, I'm not. It's they're not even debates anymore, Jim. You know, they just really aren't. You watch Google the Kennedy-Nixon debate and look at that, and then Google last presidential elections debate, and you'll see the difference.
And somebody did say something funny around that. Someone was listening to the Kennedy-Nixon on the radio and thought that it was just going just brilliantly for Nixon, and got to his friend's house, who was watching it on TV. This was years and years ago, and the guy's a little on the older side now, and it was so abundantly clear that what you were hearing was not being reflected visually. And what the guy ended up saying was just recently, it's like, okay, you know, anyone who's watching cable TV, you owe that debate your job.
So it's going to be what it is. And you know what? I can read all the headlines tomorrow.
You can write them now.
Well, in terms of Biden handling a question, he's got an easy route in the sense that he can defer to the New York Times, who have researched and, thank God, gotten all of this information. They have information, and certainly tonight he can say simply, look, there's more to come according to the paper. Let's wait and see.
Now, if I were a betting man, I'd be a betting man that the New York Times is going to release additional information, probably about 2:30, 3 o'clock this afternoon, because that's the type of news cycle we live in, where they by no means have released all the information on this story, and I think they will pick prime time to release that information.
I think, however, a question that will arise because of this information is something that I think Chris Wallace will ask, and maybe Joe will be following up on that. And the question is, who lent you $400 million, Mr. Trump? Apparently, you still owe it to them. And Mr. Trump, it's incumbent upon you to answer that question to the people out there who are watching you, who may or may not want to vote for you, because based on the norms of governing, anybody who owes a foreign government money must, one, acknowledge it, and then, two, must explain it, because this is what we call a national security risk. You are the president of the United States of America. You have tremendous power, as we've seen displayed by your blatant disregard of the Constitution and civil law. With that said, national security is something that you are held accountable to. So I do think that question, maybe I'm just thinking it should be asked, but I think it will be asked, and the response could be the election all in one non-answer or answer. So it's going to be, we've come a long 4 years here. It's been a struggle, but hopefully we're getting to the end of it, and hopefully we'll have another bombshell, and then we'll pick up our boots and get going again on the right path of democracy rather than a path of dictatorship, which is definitely one where we're going if indeed Trump were reelected. And on that score, I had written this several days ago before the news. I just want to remind people who are invested in stocks or bonds that when you have a dictatorship, the capital markets deteriorate quite a bit. Stocks go down, and in our case, the U.S. government bonds, which have been sacrosanct ever since any of us were born, they will go down. Because at a yield of well under 1%, foreigners, investors throughout the world, and including in this country, are not going to put their money up for very little return when they would basically be sponsoring a dictatorship. I certainly hope that people come into a greater reality of what the world is all about. Trump has managed to make us all think it's about him, and in turn, all about the things that he wants to say about our country. But that's a big, big world out there. And the Chinese and the Japanese and the Saudis and many other countries finance what we're doing, as well as various investment people in Europe. And Europe particularly will be first out of the box selling our U.S. government debt if we go into dictatorship. So, you know, you folks who really love the tax cut, love the Verano, you better wake up to a reality that will be a pandemic of great proportions. Yep. Now, on that score, while I'm on pandemic, Trump has walked away from responsibility. He said he didn't have responsibility, but now he's totally walked away from responsibility. Regarding the pandemic, he hardly speaks about it. He certainly is not interested in talking to his people about it. But of great danger is the fact that he has had his way with his enablers to try and convince the CDC and others in the mainstream of fighting the pandemic, convince them to, like he's been doing, lie to the public, understate the figures, not give all the information. Example, schools, going back to school. This idiot in Florida wants the children to go back to school. I don't know why they don't call for his resignation. But that aside, here on the East Coast, various and sundry governmental bodies will probably be suggesting people go back to school, maybe relying on some of this faulty CDC information. You got to stand up and take responsibility. It's very tough. I know my daughter has two very young children at home to school, and she's a school, I've got college teacher as well. So I know what the pressure is on parents and on children firsthand. So I'm not shooting from the hip and telling you, stand up, take the additional pain of them not going back to school, and you'll work it out. We're into a new paradigm, if you will, in terms of the way we're going to live our life when and if this damn thing gets over. And it's not going to be just back to school, Johnny and Jill, and sitting near one another, and this and that, the other thing. This is not, number one, most importantly, most of the experts think the virus will be with us through 2021. Folks, that's over a year away. We have to gird our loins, and we have to do those things, firstly, to protect life. And then we build from there. And life is its own joy. And, you know, you just got to do those things that make you happier, be it listening to the old songs, watching a comedy on television, reading the four books that you've been on the shelf. Exercise, please, exercise. Somehow exercise. Make your body vital as well as your mind. But please, please, be cautious as you approach the school season and as you approach your life. Don't base it on what comes out of the Trump administration. Use your own common sense.
Well, here's the current, talking about the schools, and here's where national leadership has failed. Here in Region 1 and in other regional school districts around our area, they've been very successful, and they realize that their success is day-to-day, and that, yes, there is going to be one day when either a teacher or a student in their system is diagnosed with COVID-19, and they'll have to shut down for a couple of days. But here's where the federal government not being more involved, really. We have the Defense Production Act, right? And we have distance learning going on for students. One of the first things when this came out, the government should have forced cable companies and communications companies to work together to find a way to offer free internet service to all students that have to distance learn. That should have been done with the Defense Production
Act. Could well have been, but there is, by the way, I just need to interject with that. Can I? There's a really interesting article in The New Yorker that I recommend to everybody, because even with that, you still have a different problem.
At least students have the ability to at least participate in a proper way. And it's not a great system. It's a flawed system. And there are lots of downs to it. But at least every student would have an ability to participate in it. And here's an instance where the internet is an essential service, and something should have been done. And you know what? Strict rules should have been mandated by our federal government to different parts of the countries and different school districts, depending upon what's going on. Not letting one for all and all for one decide whatever that they want to do. That's what's caused a lack of confidence.
Yeah.
Not the pandemic. It's the mishmash reaction.
Right. And the fact that for whatever reason, the New York City Teachers Union does not accept that kids have been going to school in Florida and Georgia and doing just fine. But I mean,
well, why should they? It's a total different situation in New York City. For schools.
You're absolutely right, and broadband should be immediately created throughout the West and Southwest, where it does not exist.
We have our problems here, Jim. It's just that what I'm saying is, you didn't have a national plan, so you can't compare. It's like when you educate children, you can't have the same curriculum in West Cornwall, Connecticut, or Sharon, Connecticut, that you have in New York City, or that you have in Pittsburgh, or that you have in Arizona. There should have been some sort of national plan set up because every school district is different.
Yeah, and you have a perfect example going way back of No Child Left Behind and how well that didn't work for some.
Well, Jim, you've got 3 minutes left, so take off, buddy.
Okay, they're revving up the plane now. I think what you just said, Marshall, is really a key that we should, as voters, begin to write our congressman about. And two, as voters, we should realize we need somebody who will manage the national economy, will manage the country. We have not had somebody for 3.5 years managing the country for the country's sake. So that should be part of your vote. And now I just want to say, because I didn't want to miss this, I was going to begin the show earlier, but we got started. I just want to remind people, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, even in death, makes history, a dramatic piece of history for the great United States of America. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the first woman and the first Jew to lie in state in the Capitol. God bless her. She deserves her rest. May what she's done and worked so hard for be built upon by fellow people of a Democratic stripe. And lastly, I must say, I've been trying to say this but not say it, I have a little kinship with her because she was born in the Midwood section of Brooklyn, and I lived my early kidhood in the Borough Park section. So that's about 10 blocks away. So as she has risen, it's always tickled me that where she comes from. That said, there are Americans that come from all over who are wonderful people who you can see on television. I think some of the interviewers have these little things at the end showing fighters and people who've lost loved ones and people who have sacrificed. This is a great country. It's been made up of giving, not just taking. We've got to switch the pendulum back from the taking, which we've seen from various people at the federal level, and get back into giving. And in the giving comes the gratitude. Okay, folks. It's been great. Marshall, thank you so much. You really got it going here. And Godspeed to everybody. Get going.
All right.
Congressman.
We'll speak to you next week, Jim.
You got it. Bye, Mayor. Bye-bye.
It is Jim Lynch at Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.